one of the most powerful acts that one human being can do to another is the act of encouragement. For a person to encourage someone, regardless of the area in which he or she encourages this person, the act of encouragement is one of the most important and one of the most powerful tools that we have at our disposal. Tonight, I want to look specifically at encouragement when it comes to the Lord's church. And the question specifically is this: what is the purpose of encouragement? We have an understanding of what encouragement is and the importance of encouragement and the various ways in which we encourage one another. But the question tonight is, for what? What is the end goal of encouragement? Why do we bother encouraging each other? Well, if you would, please turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 will be our chapter tonight, and specifically verses 21 through 22 will be our area of focus. Acts 14, verses 21 through 22. And again, by way of introduction and to provide us with a basic context, we go back to Acts 13. At the command of the Holy Spirit, the church at Antioch sends Barnabas and Saul away. In Acts 13, 1 through 3, this is what is known as the first or the commencement of the first missionary journey. After preaching in Antioch Pisidia, certain hostile Jews stir up people of the city, persecute Paul and Barnabas, and expel them from the region. Acts 13, 49 through 52 states this. Paul and Barnabas flee Iconium after being aware of a violent attempt to abuse them and stone them in Acts 14, 4 through 7. And then in Lystra. In Lystra, Paul and Barnabas have to deal with some form of first century paganism. After healing a man, the people view them as gods and try to sacrifice to them in Acts 14, 8 through 18. Certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium don't give up. They catch up with Paul and Barnabas in Lystra and stone Paul in an attempt to kill him, again in Acts 14, 19 through 20. And that brings us to verse 21. Our passage this evening, verse 21 and verse 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. And this is the verse that I'd like us to focus on this evening, verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. What is the purpose of encouragement, brethren? Why do we encourage one another? What is the end goal? Well, 3 points I'd like to make this evening from verse 22 specifically, 3 points that will relate to our question, which we will at one point answer. The first is this, basic point, but such an important point: we are to encourage one another. Paul and Barnabas here encouraged these Christians in Antioch. They encouraged them. We read of them strengthening them and exhorting them. Now, strengthening, that word strengthening, or your Bible translation may have confirming, means to establish besides, strengthen more, or to render more firm or confirm. That's the idea of the Greek word for strengthening and exhorting. Again, your Bible translation may have the word encouraged. It means to admonish or to exhort. So here we read of Paul and Barnabas strengthening these Christians, exhorting them, or again, according to our definitions, to render them more firm, to admonish them. Now, notice specifically, brethren, what Paul and Barnabas exhort them to do in verse 22, to continue in the faith. Paul and Barnabas are not just simply encouraging them here just in a general way. Rather, they are encouraging them with a very specific goal, and that is to for them to continue in the faith. And that is the faith, we understand that to mean, as it's used in the New Testament, the gospel system. To be faithful as Christians, essentially, is the idea. Now, this language is used a number of different places throughout the New Testament. We think of Acts 11 and verse 23, where Barnabas encouraged Christians at Antioch to continue with the Lord. In Colossians 1, verses 21 through 23, Paul encouraged the church at Colossae to continue in the faith. And in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, we learn that one can't deny the faith and stray from it. So that, of course, makes sense as to why Paul and Barnabas are encouraging these Christians to continue in the faith. Because, again, one can deny the faith and stray from it. Notice what Paul and Barnabas do not do, or at least are not recorded as doing. Paul and Barnabas were not a discouragement to the brethren. We do not read of them being critical or fault-finding. We don't read of that regarding Paul and Barnabas. Nor do we read of them gossiping and causing trouble for this new established congregation. Rather, what is emphasized is the fact that they encouraged them. And no doubt, because that's all they did was encourage them. We think how this may relate to us. Well, we know that it very well does relate to us. We all need encouragement. It does not matter how long we've been a Christian, for 5, 10, 50 years. That doesn't factor into whether or not we need encouragement at times. It does not matter what role we fulfill in the local congregation, being elder, deacon, preacher. That does not factor in. We can all be discouraged at times. It does not matter how long we've been faithful or whether or not we're known for our faithfulness. Again, we all need encouragement at times. None of us are immune from the difficulties of life. Even though we're Christian, even though we're right with God in our relationship with Him, none of us are immune from the difficulties of life. Our Lord certainly wasn't while He was here on earth, and nor are we. Just because we're Christians does not mean that we don't experience the difficulties of life. We all experience sickness. We all at times experience death or the passing of a loved one. We even at times struggle to simply make ends meet financially. Just because we're Christians, just because we're sons and daughters of God, does not mean that we do not have to deal with these difficulties at times. Now, God has promised us to provide for us and to oversee us, but He has not promised to protect us across the board from these different challenges in life. And so we're not immune from these things anymore. Well, we experience these things to some degree as the non-Christian does. But the point is this, brethren, we are to encourage one another. We think of Ephesians 4 and verse 29, where we are encouraged to encourage each other by our speech. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, encouragement, that it may impart grace to the hearers." In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, we read, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, encourage one another, just as you also are doing." One more point, brethren, before we leave our first point this evening, and that is this: we are to remember that the church is our number one support base. That's our number one go-to when it comes to encouragement, especially when it comes to encouragement. We, no doubt, some of us have jobs out in the secular world, and we rub shoulders with those who are not Christian and sometimes who don't care for the gospel. And the things that we hear and the things we see trouble us at times while trying to be faithful in the midst of a perverse generation. It can be difficult at times. But the important point is this: we are to surround ourselves with like-minded people who will encourage us to be Christians. That's you and me. That's us here tonight, the church. Our company is so important. The company we choose. The company we choose to a large degree determines who we are. And Paul says so in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 11. He says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We choose poor company. That poor company will rub off on us and would ultimately take its toll. We choose good company. That also will have its benefits. Notice Hebrews chapter 10. One verse before we finish this first point, Hebrews chapter 10, again, emphasizes this, the importance of encouraging one another. In Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, the penman says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So first point, basic point, an important point, and that is this, we are to encourage one another. By way of transition, okay, so then why? Why are we to encourage one another? What's the point? What do we have in mind? Well, second point tonight, we all have our struggles. We all have our struggles. We all have our difficulties in life. Again, we go back to our passage of Acts 14 in verse 23, where Paul and Barnabas, we read, explain to these Christians that they may go through many tribulations, or pressures is the idea. Tribulations, again, is in the original mean is the idea of oppression, affliction, distress, or straits. And here we have Paul and Barnabas explain to these Christians that they may go through these different things, these tribulations, these pressures. What's neat is that Paul and Barnabas here, with these Christians, they're real with them. They're not trying to sugarcoat things. They're not making the Christian life out to be a bed of roses, so to speak. No, Paul and Barnabas are being very real with these Christians. You're going to go through tribulations, but you need to go through those to enter the kingdom of God. And we know by way of experience that the Christian life is not easy at times. Jesus described the gate as narrow and the way that leads to life as difficult in Matthew 7, verse 14. So our Lord describes it as narrow and difficult. Our Lord also himself was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, in Hebrews 4 and verse 15. And so the Christian life by no means is easy at times. It's a great joy to live as a Christian, but it does have its difficulties, and that's, of course, expected. We know, however, that even though the Christian life can be hard at times, it is more than worth it. And we'll see this here soon. But again, we all struggle. And one thing that is different is that we all struggle at different times. We may be struggling, again, at work with a work colleague or with a boss. A work colleague may be making light of our faith, or a boss may, no matter what we do, the boss just may have it in for us, and we try our very best to please him or her, but it's just not working. We may be struggling with a certain brother or sister who we feel has wronged us, who are waiting for them to come and apologize, or who they're waiting for us to come and apologize. We may have even a brother and sister in the faith who we are working on the relationship with them. Some of us may be struggling in our marriages. Others of us may feel like we're falling apart due to our age. What we may just be simply struggling with life in general as to what we want to do long term, and as to where to go now, whether or not to take that job, or whether or not to pursue that avenue. That just may be, again, that can be a struggle at times as to what direction to take. And so we all struggle with different things, but also we struggle not only with different things, but we struggle with at different times. So for example, when I'm up, when I'm feeling well, you very well may be down. You may be struggling, and vice versa. When you're doing well, I may not be doing so well. I may be having a terrible week, and vice versa. We all struggle with different things and at different times. But again, one more point I'd like to make with the second major point tonight is this. When you think about it, we think about the importance of the church, how important the church is to our encouragement. When you think about it, if you don't encourage me, then who will? If my brothers and sisters at Midtown do not encourage me, then who will? Our schoolmates, our work colleagues, our non-Christian family members are not necessarily going to encourage us. Why would they? They don't hold the same value. They don't share the same values as we do. They don't believe the same things. The Bible, the book that we hold up as authored by God, the book that we love, they at times scoff at and have no time for. So those in the world, be it family or not, are not necessarily going to encourage us. A work colleague, an unbelieving work colleague, is not going to come up to you and say, you know what, I'm just thrilled that you decide to become a Christian. Please tell me, what can I do to help you grow in Christ? That's not going to happen, nor should we expect it to happen. The point is, I need you, and you need me, and that's exactly the way God has designed it. And that's why we're so important. That's why it's so important that we have each other, to encourage each other. No one else in Victoria, Texas, generally speaking, is going to encourage you and me to stay the course. We must work together. We must encourage each other. Because essentially, we've all we've got within an hour or 2 hours driving range. So our second point this evening is the fact of us being real. And that fact is that we all have struggles at different things and different times. Again, as Christians, we struggle in many different ways. Again, our third point this evening, our third and final point, and by way of transition, what then are we to be motivated by? If we're to encourage each other, if we all have our different struggles, okay, so what are we to be motivated by, ultimately? Or, back to our opening question, what is the purpose of encouragement? Why encourage each other? What's the point? What really is the point? Well, our third and final point this evening, we're to be motivated by heaven. That's what we're being motivated by, brethren, our ultimate goal, heaven. We're to keep the goal in mind. Again, going back to Acts 14 and verse 22, notice that Paul and Barnabas spoke of the goal of these Christians, and that is entrance into the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of God. That was the goal that Paul and Barnabas had in mind for these Christians. In other words, we might say we're to keep our eyes on the prize of heaven. We are not to be distracted or discouraged by the affairs of this life, no matter how stressful and troubling at times they can be. Do not allow that to distract you, brethren. Do not allow that to discourage you. Remember, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how impossible it may seem at times, we're to keep our eyes on the prize, because in the end, it's going to be more than worth it. Notice the language here that Luke uses in verse 22. He speaks of entering into the kingdom of God. Again, and this goes back to what we've looked at recently in our Bible classes, our morning Bible classes. Our goal as Christians is to enter the heavenly phase of the kingdom of God. And again, we may remember there are two phases at least to God's kingdom. First, we are in the present earthly phase of God's kingdom, the church. We think of Matthew 16, verse 18 through 19, where our Lord promised to build the church, the kingdom, and did so on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 13, where God has conveyed Paul and his fellow Christians and us, conveyed, past tense, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so the kingdom is and was established in Acts 2, and you and I are a part of it, and privileged to be a part of God's kingdom. We're not waiting for some earthly premillennial kingdom. But there is a second phase to God's kingdom, we are to enter the future heavenly phase of God's kingdom, of God's rule, and that is heaven itself. We think of 2 Peter 1 and verse 11, where we are told that if we grow in Christian qualities, faith, virtue, and so on, we will be supplied with an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ if we grow, if we work on these things. We also think of 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, where we are reminded that if we remain faithful to God, God will preserve us for his heavenly kingdom. We're in the kingdom, in the first phase. Our goal is to get into the next, into that heavenly phase, heaven itself. We are to be motivated, brethren, by our goal, that is heaven. And again, this makes sense in regard to how motivation works. We think, again, by way of illustration, an athlete. An athlete is motivated by first place to train and compete. He's thinking about that golden medal or that golden cup. An employee is motivated by his wages to work. Why? Because he or she wants to provide for his family. So he's motivated to get up and get going in the morning because, again, he has that income in mind. A husband is motivated by love to buy flowers for his wife, and today, especially for the mothers. Our love motivates us to buy gifts for those we love, if that's your love language. And we're to be motivated by God's heavenly kingdom to remain faithful as Christians, and that's the point here in Acts 14 and verse 22. That is our motivation, brethren, the greatest motivation of all, God's heavenly kingdom. We're in it now, in God's kingdom, the first phase of it. You and I want to get into the next, and that's our goal. We have not yet arrived. We are right with God, but we want to ultimately stay right with God for all eternity. It's important for us to remember, brethren, with this idea in mind, that again, we have not ultimately arrived. It's so easy for us to think, well, I've been baptized, therefore I've been made right with God, I'm a Christian, part of the church. Correct, correct, correct. But we've got so much, such a long way to go still. Our journey is not yet complete. In fact, it started at our baptism. But if we endure our tribulations, if we do not quit, if we do not throw our hands up, throw the towel in, it's too hard, I'm done with this, if we remain faithful, we will be crowned with the crown of life. We think of Revelation 12, verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. How encouraging is that? The encouragement of heaven, the encouragement of eternal life itself. How then, as we finish this third point, how then are we to encourage each other? How do we go about spurring each other on, edifying, lifting one another up? How do we do this? Well, you and I know there's no real science to it. It's not difficult to encourage each other. We encourage each other by simply visiting with each other, by stopping and just asking questions and getting to know each other and seeing if there's anything we can do or help, just simply by visiting with each other. We encourage each other by calling each other and checking in on each other. How are you doing? Can I do anything for you? How's your family? Just simply by calling each other. We encourage each other by helping each other when we're in need. When we have a brother and sister who needs help, we should be the first to put our hands up and go and help that brother and sister. Why? Because they're exactly that. They're our brother and sister. They're a family member. And we need to be the first ones there to help them. And no doubt, hopefully, that's an encouragement to them. We also encourage each other by opening our homes to each other and by having each other over for meals or just a visit. It's a wonderful way to encourage each other. We encourage each other in a broader sense just by being a part of each other's lives. Rather than just seeing each other three times a week, Sundays and Wednesdays, we encourage each other by staying in touch, by conversing throughout the week, by seeing each other throughout the week, where possible. I know that we have our jobs and we have our responsibilities, but by keeping tabs on each other, by being part of each other's lives in general. We encourage each other, brethren, ultimately by being a family and by acting and functioning as a family, by working as a family and by looking at each other, by viewing each other as not simply acquaintances or we just have the church in common, I just happen to go to the Midtown Church of Christ, and so do you, and we see each other Sundays and Wednesdays, and that's great. No, we encourage each other by viewing each other as brothers and sisters, as family members. In fact, the greatest family that you and I will ever know, our spiritual family, blood that runs thicker than any biological blood that we have in common with others, and that, of course, is the blood of Christ, the very blood that binds us, that ties us together, the blood of our Saviour, that makes us sons and daughters, and that enables us to have the one Father, the Heavenly Father. That's the power of our family as the church, and that's where encouragement comes in. To conclude, we go back to our opening question, then: what is the purpose of encouragement? Short story long, what is the purpose of encouragement? Simply to get one another to heaven. That's the ultimate goal. I'm to encourage you because I want to make sure that you're cared for, and that if there's anything I can do, I want to be able to help. I want to encourage you so that you feel well on all fronts. But ultimately, when I encourage you, I'm encouraging you because I want you to get to heaven. That's why I'm encouraging you, and that's why I pray that you encourage me, because we have the same goal. We have the same ultimate goal in mind. So, again, thinking about our lesson, first, we're to encourage each other. Why? Because, second, we all have our difficulties, our struggles in life. What then are we to be motivated by? Third, we're to be motivated by heaven, by the gift, by the reward of eternal life. And that, brethren, is the reason why we're to encourage each other, so that we'll make it to heaven. We love our family members very much here at Midtown. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, the relationships that we have with each other should be, if not now, will be the strongest and the closest that we should ever have in life. And so if you're a member of the family and you need the prayers and support of your brothers and sisters, now there, of course, is the appropriate time to make that request known. If you're not, then I would very much encourage you to be a part of the greatest family on earth, the Lord's Church. If we can help in either of those two ways, please make that known, as together we stand and as we sing.